Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. FTX, now synonymous with what went wrong in crypto. The big picture, however, relates to the markets and how they behave in downturns. So I go to a man who's very carefully explicated markets over many years, Gregory Zuckerman of the Wall Street Journal, who's the author of The Man Who Solved the Market. That is not what we're hearing about the Bahamas and FTX, but it is a puzzle about what happens when markets break, when they move from a bull phase to a bear phase, or when the reserve says that inflation must be contained and is aggressive in raising hikes, that's monetary policy, or just in general, when a bubble collapses. Gregory, a very good evening to you. The reporting on the FTX story is running in all directions, cultural, social, certainly about the missing money. However, you have written over the years about how people discern the markets when they're running in a bull phase and a bear phase. Is what we're witnessing with FTX recognizable to you? Have we seen this story before? Different names, different circumstances, but the same. Something, when the tide goes out, you can tell who isn't wearing a bathing suit. Good evening to you.
Good evening, and that is a good way to look at this. A lot of the crypto world and other parts of financial markets were built on easy money, and traders, investors, others with easy access to cash, FOMO, the fear of missing out, which isn't just related to finance, but elsewhere in society, it all collided and combined. And yeah, and this is a story we've heard in different shapes and forms over and over again. It's Lehman Brothers, it's Enron, it's Madoff, with a new twist here or there. There was potential fraud here. There's obviously been misleading of investors, of clients. In some ways, you could argue it's even worse than Madoff. Why? Because Madoff, those who lost money, billions in Madoff, were generally large investors. There were some small people too, but people who should have known better, people who should have done the research and often didn't do it. Here, you've got the big investors, but you have clients, individual type people who entrusted their money to an exchange and had no real reason to think that their money was being lent to the trading arm of the exchange. And that's what happened here. FTX is an exchange and it has a trading arm, Alameda Research, and they lost a lot of money and they filled it with money from the exchange that wasn't theirs. So it's troubling, it's disturbing, and yeah, it does reflect this world we're in of no longer easy access to cash.
I pushed the story a little bit. Is cryptocurrency itself the bubble? Not FTX, but the whole concept of creating a decentralized system of fiat money that is exactly what it was when you traded it. Is that where we've been going with what, low interest rates for 10, 15 years?
Well, it's interesting. We've all been waiting for something to break in the market, in the economy. The Fed's going to keep raising interest rates until something breaks. Well, something is broken here. And yes, that is FTX and the crypto market broadly. Now, I'm not going to argue that the whole thing was a charade, was a scam. There are good reasons to be a proponent of cryptocurrencies. There's something to be said for a currency potentially that isn't indebted, no pun intended, to central bankers and the government, that third world type people, developing world individuals can rely on, as opposed to running for safety somewhere and leaving countries and leaving your wealth behind. There's some value there potentially, but clearly there was too much froth, and the bubble has burst in that regard.
And the bubble right now, we don't know where this is going, but the word contagion comes up all the time now in reporting. In your newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, in London, the FTX, contagion. What does that mean, Gregory? What are they worried about?
Well, the concern is that these troubles spread elsewhere in the crypto world, and they have. Almost everybody is in jeopardy of losing faith of their customers. Who do you trust? It's hard to trust anybody at this point in the crypto world. FTX was seen as a savior. Sam Bankman-Fried was the friendly, geeky, reliable, safe alternative to this Binance. Binance is a Chinese exchange and other crypto exchanges and vehicles. So the fact that he within a week was revealed to be not what he suggested, not what his firm suggested, raises questions about everywhere. But I do have to say that it's been reassuring that a contagion hasn't spread to the TradFi world, as we call it, or as they call it, the traditional financial world, the one that you and I rely on, our banks, our financial system, the stock market. It's really been untouched in some ways. Yes, some large investors, there's been some overlap and they've been hurt. But for large part, it really hasn't been seen that. We haven't seen that impact, and that's reassuring.
And that is because the banks have been obliged to stress test these many years since the 2008 recession, when they were not prepared for the run on the banks that always, you know, the romantic moment in the Jimmy Stewart movie is the same no matter when it happens. So right now, what we understand is that the banks are secure, even though they were dabbling in the crypto world.
Yes. Sometimes central bankers and regulators, there's a need for them. I know people in the crypto world, the decentralized world, scoff at individuals or institutions getting involved. But now sort of they're scrambling. They wish they had some of that. And listen, I don't mean to dismiss that whole complex, the crypto complex, Bitcoin and such. There is some value, and there's some smart, serious-minded people dedicated to developing cryptocurrencies that can be valuable, either means of exchange or otherwise, blockchain, et cetera. The technology is intriguing, but there's also a value for old school regulators insisting on, as you say, reserves, seeing the reserves and getting the data. So in some ways, right, we have those boring state regulators to thank for the fact that this hasn't spilled over into the real economy.
I'm thinking now about the reports, various reports of cryptocurrency disappearing, theft, hacking, a world that you don't remember exists because you think, well, bank, it's in the money's in a vault somewhere. You have to actually break in. No, you don't. You have to hack. So are we looking at something beyond what we assume is regulations for, say, know your customer? That was imposed on banks over these last decades and has prevented a certain amount of laundering of cash. Or the imposition of stress tests on crypto firms. Is that all in train, all coming? Have you heard that talk?
You know, it's a debate. You could make the counter argument that this is the way it should have happened, that there are serious losses, and I feel bad for those who have losses, but they didn't invest in traditional products. They invested with those that have inherent risk, and it's not even clear crypto can be considered an investment. You know, SEC, Gensler, argue otherwise, but it's not entirely clear. You know, caveat emptor, you knew this had inherent risk. You lost your shirt, but maybe this is the way it was supposed to be. And they would argue, their proponents would say, yeah, it didn't affect other kinds of people. So if you're going to get all kinds of regulation, I frankly am worried that if you're going to regulate it too much, it's going to almost be like a good housekeeping seal and people are going to kind of stream back into it. I have mixed feelings about that argument.
And finally, a final consideration right now, because we're in the midst of this all a lesson learned for a generation that's only known a bull market. Gregory, you and I are old enough to remember bear markets before and recessions before. There has not been a whopper like this for more than 10 years. And I'm wondering if that is the silver lining here. People are reminded that you can lose everything.
Yeah, although to lose everything, to be reminded that you can lose everything, isn't exactly the ideal scenario. But it is for those adherents, those proponents of Bitcoin and crypto, to see the kinds of losses. It is a healthy reminder. And I don't know, you can argue that crypto and Bitcoin is still, what, around $14,000, $15,000?
Right.
It's a little higher than I would have expected. So I don't know, maybe it's everybody's been called to question, and yet the thing isn't, you know, under 10,000. I don't know. I guess a bull would argue that that's reassuring for them. So who knows? Maybe a year from now it'll be a lot higher.
Gregory Zuckerman of the Wall Street Journal. My memory of recessions and bull markets and fraud in past. He's also the author of The Man Who Solved the Market, not about crypto, about a real market and a real billions of dollars. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.